learn how to match your gift for the new studios of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever at thewordendures.org/newstudios.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
So, is Jesus just teaching something like karma here? What goes around comes around?
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Matthew.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. So last time, we pondered those comforting words of Jesus that wrap up chapter 6 of this Sermon on the Mount, in which he counteracts our impulse to worry with the fact that we have a Heavenly Father who values us and in whose hand are our times, our entrance into this world, and our exit from it. And as long as he has us live here, he promises to provide us what we need for daily bread, and frankly, it's usually in abundance. So instead of obsessing on where our livelihood will come from, Jesus challenges us as people of little faith and invites us to not be like the Gentiles, who are ignorant of the Heavenly Father. Instead, to seek first God's kingdom, his righteousness, and to let him who knows our needs provide for the rest. Lastly, remember his stunning words about the thought for the morrow and facing each day's evil without burdening ourselves with anxiety about the future. Picking up then, the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. St. Matthew 7, verses 1 to 6. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So, you're ready to ponder these words? Let's do this. Verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. Oh, this is another verse that in Bible class always raises hackles. Up go the hands. But Pastor, we have to judge. I mean, is that used car salesman on the up and up? Or is he out to rob you by selling you a lemon? Did Jesus really mean we can't evaluate things like that? You know the answer. Of course not. And that's just a deflection. You know perfectly well what he is aiming at. And it's uncomfortable because you don't like it at all. Neither do I. To judge others, to point out their flaws, their faults, their sins, to hold them under a magnifying glass even. One of my favorite passages in all of the Book of Concord of the Lutheran Church, the collection of the Lutheran confessions, which govern our public teaching and practice. It really nailed this. A well-known saying puts it this way, know, but do not hate, the manners of a friend. Nor did the apostle thoughtlessly teach so much about this office that the philosophers called leniency. For this virtue is necessary for keeping public harmony in the church and civil government. Harmony in the church cannot last unless pastors and churches mutually overlook and pardon many things. Apology to the Augsburg Confession. Folks, that is gold. And in this current environment, where folks are judged, condemned, and hounded for expressing a thought on social media that someone deems unacceptable, well, we see the danger Jesus is warning about in spades. It's crazy how once intolerance sets in and leniency is removed, social life dissolves into nothing but self-righteous hatred of others. Ouch! That is what Jesus wants to warn us against. Verse 2. So with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I didn't really deal with the passive construction in the first verse, but it's the same situation here. Be judged, be measured. The question is, who is doing that measuring and judging back to you? Of course, it's a divine passive. It's a way of confessing God's action. So, is Jesus just teaching something like karma here? What goes around comes around? Not quite. He's not suggesting merely about folks getting their well-deserved comeuppance. Throughout the whole of this sermon, he summoned us to see ourselves as we truly are. And if we do that, we realize we are sinners who've utterly failed to obey the commandments of God, and we are not in a position to condemn, to throw that first stone. We need mercy ourselves. He needs us to see this, to believe it, so that when we look at our neighbor, our brother or sister in their sin, we don't pride ourselves that we're not like them, but instead we cry for them too. God, have mercy on us poor sinners. You see, when you stick with the law brings wrath and condemns. When you live in the mercy of forgiveness, the refusing to judge and condemn becomes the measure you're accustomed to using. And to make sure we don't miss this, he speaks a word of law right to our hearts. Verse 3. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? This is almost comical the way he puts it. Specks and logs? Seriously? But he has to make us see this. The disciple who is blind to their own sins and rebellions is absolutely of no use to others. He's blinded by the log. He can't see it, but everybody around him can. All he can see is the faults and failures and sins of the people around him. And he's swift with the criticism and the complaining and pointing it out. You know what the problem with you is? Hey, as soon as you speak the word, you know the log is blocking your vision. But how is it even possible not to notice the thing? Well, that's simple. You think about the law all the time as it applies to others, but you haven't taken the time to look in the mirror of the divine law and consider yourself. As a consequence, your sense of proportion is all out of whack. Verse 5. You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see to take the speck out of your brother's eye. St. John Chrysostom knew well all about this problem Jesus is confronting. He encountered it too at his home congregation there in 4th century Antioch. So he preached to them, in the same way also, here he says, hypocrite, for the verdict that one's brother needs a splinter taken out of his eye does not come from concern, but from contempt for humanity. even while one is putting on a mask of love toward others, one is actually performing a deed of consummate evil by inflicting numerous criticisms and accusations on close companions, thereby usurping the rank of teacher when one is not even worthy to be a disciple. For this reason, he is calling this one a hypocrite. Ooh, that one hits home. Before you start tidying up your neighbor's life, how about you take a gander at your own? Now, how does one do what Jesus is describing here? Well, I've hinted at the answer already. You spend time with the Ten Commandments. You examine your conscience, your heart, your actions, your intentions. And when you've come to a knowledge of your sin, you make a humble confession of your sins to God. And don't forget, you can also do this before the pastor, who will then speak the word that unbinds you, releases you from your sin, declares you forgiven. There's an awesome resource for this examination and confession. It's in the Lutheran Prayer Companion, published by Concordia Publishing House. It helps you reflect like nothing else and gives you a confession of sins afterwards that totally covers all the bases. The person who prays this, they'll come away seeing the log in their own eyes, guaranteed, like never before. By the way, the book's available also on Kindle or Apple Books, and I actually use the electronic version in my personal prayers most every day. It's really a blessing. Okay, commercial over. Verse 6, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. This always seems to me to come out of the blue in the Sermon on the Mount, and it may be because of the way that the ancient church picked up and used this verse. You know what the Didache applied it to? The Eucharist. Listen, let no one eat or drink of your Eucharist but those who have been baptized in the name of the Lord. For the Lord's own saying applies here. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Didache 10. I've often wondered if this statement is the earliest reflection on the ancient deacon's cry in the liturgy, the holy things for the holy ones, right before communion, to which, by the way, the faithful always responded, one is holy, one is Lord, Jesus Christ, in the glory of God the Father. These words also call to mind Jesus' encounter with the Canaanite woman, whom we'll meet in chapter 15 of St. Matthew, where he says, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. In that case, dogs equals Gentiles, those outside the covenant of Israel. But dogs and swines or pigs? Well, that puts me in mind of 2 Peter 2. What the true proverb says has happened to them, the dog returns to its own vomit and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. Peter, of course, is referring to people who apostatize from Christ and fall away from his baptism and his forgiveness. But I don't think our Lord Jesus in this passage is speaking so much about falling away as he is warning his followers about the danger of setting forth the promises of the gospel to those who, still living like animals in this world, simply are not prepared to receive them as the holy thing and treasure that they are. And so you see, I think the Didache was right to apply it to the Eucharist, but I think it's bigger. Christians don't toss the Lord's holy things and his promise of forgiveness to those who cannot profit from them, at least who cannot profit from them yet. Over time, this led Christians to actually be quite circumspect in the context in which they would speak to unbelievers of the sacraments and the other promises of God. You see, until the beam is already taken from your own eye, you can't value the treasure that is the gospel. So in our preaching, we Lutherans use the jargon law and gospel, by which we mean that the sweet promises of the gospel are never to be set forth as though they could be enjoyed and given to those whom the law has not led to repentance. You know my favorite way of putting that. God loves to forgive, I love to sin, such a deal. That way of thinking is pearls before swine. And that's where we're going to call it quits today, people loved by God. Next time, we pick up with more encouragement to prayer. It's like Jesus never tires of inciting us to ask good gifts from the Heavenly Father. Till then, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you have a question or a comment about today's teaching, send an email to contact@thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.